The Napoleonic Era, Napoleon in Exile, 1815 to 1821. The Court of Longwood. Once installed in his new imperial residence at Longwood, Napoleon at once began organizing everyone's duties as if they were on campaign or on a battlefield. Napoleon was determined to affirm his royal status. But, of course, the British opposed him openly. They only addressed him as General Bonaparte, or Sir, or at best, Your Excellency. They might even write, as Admiral Cockburn did, the General Bertrand, in reply to a French note of protest to him, quote, "You oblige me officially to explain to you that I have no knowledge of any emperor being actually upon this island, or of any person possessing such dignity," end of quote. As might be expected, Napoleon held an extremely different and contrary view. Yes, Napoleon had abdicated the French throne, but he was and would remain the Emperor Napoleon. First of all, that title had been conferred upon him by the French people in a vote to change the Constitution. Second, it was a title that was confirmed by the legitimate Pope of the Catholic Church. And third, that title was consecrated and anointed by the Pope in Paris at Notre Dame. So it definitely had legal standing. Just because the European powers didn't want to recognize Napoleon as an emperor, which would mean they recognized the people of France overthrowing the king and replacing him. That's a bad precedent for anybody else in Europe. At any rate, as a prisoner in the hands of the coalition, or the Allied powers, Napoleon was being treated like the general of a failed coup d'etat. Napoleon wished to maintain before his small entourage and before the conceited and boastful English, as well as the world, some sentiment or semblance of official protocol. Napoleon has been criticized for this insane attachment to his past grandeurs, but this shows complete lack of understanding of the feelings of all the isolated and inactive communities, particularly of the white population of St. Helena. Because of the English colonists and their interest in what was going on at Longwood House, it's that reason Napoleon put himself to so much trouble. If he established court etiquette, if his valets wore his livery, and his generals appeared before his august person in uniform, the English might still go on calling him general, but they would soon feel envious of those among their number who received an invitation to an audience. And this is something that Napoleon did frequently. He invited various members of the island to come and visit him. He invited people who traveled to the island to visit him. They actually had special passes that the government would approve and send out after he had sent a letter of request asking that these people be allowed to come and visit. He loved to talk to the travelers because they were usually very well educated. They'd been to India and other places. So it's something that he did frequently. Napoleon did not fail to realize and to declare that an enemy disarmed is an enemy conquered, and that was essential, at whatever the cost, to make sure of such contacts. An immediate advantage of this elaborate ceremonial situation was to discourage familiarity on the part of the English, or even the French, who were soon to relapse in a kind of a camp comradeship, where it's a little bit less formal. So everybody is delegated to do something in the organization here. Bertrand, as the high officer of the crown, would be addressed by the servants as Monseigneur, my lord. Other household officers would call him the Grand Marshal. Montholon was delegated to act in the Grand Marshal's place because the Bertrands did not live at Longwood. So Montholon also controlled domestic affairs. To the English, he was to be addressed as Lord Chamberlain. Gourgaud was in charge of the stables. That was 10 horses. He also was supposed to be in charge of the four-wheeled carriage, but the drivers of the four-wheeled carriage were the Archambault brothers, and they also ended up keeping it up, and they loved to drive those horses at full speed through those roads and up by Longwood. Las Casas was put in charge of the stores and the crown property. Now, the crown property is actually the objects that were provided by the British government, because Napoleon's personal property was actually in the hands of his valet, Marchand. Now, Cipriani was the major domo. He controlled the food supply under Montholon's supervision. He was also kind of the general spy. Mr. Balcom was the master of the briars. He was the man responsible for administering and organizing the provisioning of the island of St. Helena for the British and all anything that Napoleon needed. Now, there were some English soldiers that were brought in. They were dressed in green and gold imperial livery, and livery is their uniform that they wear. They were to help Napoleon's servants. They'd actually been lent to Napoleon by Admiral Cockburn to help in the stables and in the silver room. I know that seems kind of strange. What do you need to help in the silver room? It's to clean it, and they have lots of silver, and it tarnishes pretty quickly. Then they're also helped out in the kitchen, and they helped out in the pantry. St. Denis and Navarraz, they took turns on guard duty at night. They were outside, and then they would alternate sleeping in the ante room next to Napoleon's bathroom. And anytime they heard him ring a bell, they would have to go to him and find out what he needed. Not in the bathroom, but whenever he rang his bell in his room. Santini, he waited in the dining room by day and also had the duty of opening the door for the emperor or the generals when they went into his private study or into his drawing room. And finally, the good-looking Elbon Gentilini, who had all the ladies, single ladies, at least we hope they're only single ladies, of the island swooning for him, his only job was simply laying out the table for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. That allowed him plenty of time to go and deal with the wildlife of St. Helena, if you will. Now, later on, we will get into what a day in Napoleon's life was like. We're pretty well organized, some of his background, and where the money comes from, how this all works, how much the British spent. Now, the sources for this are Napoleon St. Helena by Martineau, the Memoir de St. Helena by Las Casas, and he's not happy about his job, by the way, where he was put in charge of the stores, because it took him away from his writing. And it took him away from doing his interviews with Napoleon. And Montholon kind of picked that up, and he never really appreciated it. The Cashiers de St. Helena by General Bertrand. St. Helena's Who's Who by Dr. Chaplin. And Journal of St. Helena by General Gougaud. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question. Leave a comment. Check out the CDs, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.